Teresa.
Hi, Manny.
I guess let's just do a little quick shout out to the last show that we did for last month, right? So we were talking to Jose and Don. And just a little recap, I guess, there. Thanks so much for them jumping on the show.
Yeah, we were able to talk about all the things that they're doing in their life that help them to connect with their inner happiness.
Yeah, so we're doing another episode of Building Joy.
Yeah.
Do you want to share your details, your information, so everyone's aware?
Okay, so I'm Teresa Greco. I'm a certified life coach specializing in happiness and spirituality. I'm pursuing my PhD also with a dissertation on happiness. I have this lovely show with Manny called Building Joy. I have two other podcasts as well, all focused around happiness. I have some best-selling books, international writer, editor of a magazine, educator, educational technologies consultant, lots of different
7 days a week, 12 months of the year, on average, what, 85 years in a person's life. You got a lot going on, Teresa.
Lots going on. So you can connect with me on my website at teresagreco.ca. You can also find me on all the social media platforms, teresagreco_.
Through here on the show, in the show notes, directly link, hyperlinks, and get a hold of you. And I encourage anybody who's listening and is listening to the TCL show for the while that these shows are actually beneficial. And just I always say it. People send me DMs and they're like asking my opinion. I was going, just reach out. Just drop a line, say a DM or shoot them an email and just tell them this is what's going on in my life right now and see what the conversation, where it goes. Mm-hmm. Simple as that, right? So mm-hmm. I don't need to tell anybody who I am. I just, because I don't care to. I just, it doesn't matter to me. You're listening. If you don't like me, then line's over there. If you like me, then you're in the studio. And then you got my number. So it's as simple as that. I always tell people, if you got my number, then you can say something bad about me. But if you don't have my number, then you can't say anything bad about me. That's as simple as that. Let's give Tyrone a call. He's up actually, he's north. He's done something interesting, which I respect a lot, but he's done it for a good purpose, right? So let's see if we can connect with him.
Manny.
Hey, Tyrone. What's going on, man?
Good afternoon. Doing great, man.
You hearing me fine?
Finished a little snack and was expecting your call.
Can you hear me fine?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Okay, cool. I've got Teresa on the other side of the podcast table here. Teresa Greco from Steps of Happiness.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Teresa. How are you?
Hi, excellent. And yourself?
Doing great, thanks. Enjoying a nice sunny day up here. I just came back from farmer's market.
Oh, lovely.
Really nice.
I'm envious. I'm still envious, Ty. Like, totally envious. I know.
I broke the code, Manny.
I know, which is great. But I wanted to get you on the show just to talk a little bit about, and you dive as much as you want to, about what's going on in your life and why you're up north. And you're obviously still working construction-wise, but you've taken different steps in your life right now because you weren't really all that crazy about where the life and things were going, right?
That's correct, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, I made this decision, Manny, like, you know, 2 years ago, the plan for me was to kind of get back more into project management builds. I've been doing construction since, you know, 1987, and I've done all kinds of builds over the years.
Both countries, too. I want people to understand.
Both countries, yeah.
U.S. and Canada.
American and Canadian, yep. And, you know, moving south and then coming back here and doing it. What I had been struggling with was, you know, running all the tasks. And a few years ago, you know, 18 jobs at a time and really good teams trying to run the systems. But I found myself getting pulled back in to the business instead of being able to work on the business.
Yeah.
And about 2 years ago, decision to, okay, just try to cut back on everything if I could and go back into project management and building ICF homes is what I love building with the ICF. And I found a little niche with some clientele and been finding these projects which were remote. And the remote jobs allowed me to kind of move away from the city and be gone for 2 or 3 or 4 months or longer for some of these bigger builds. And I decided at the beginning of this year to close my office and shop down.
Oh, did I lose you?
Being out of the city, I still do have a couple of guys working on smaller projects and more of a lot of handyman stuff right now. It's been hard to close some of these bigger jobs, but overall for me, it was, I want to go and live up north, out of the city, work with these really cool homeowners, or other contractors that are in need of, you know, services that I could offer to, you know, run the job, build the, and then leave. I don't have to worry about toilet paper holders or paint at the end of a job. And, you know, I've been really lucky to, you know, network with a few people, and got some opportunities, and I found a great space up north that I moved into. And I've been here this year since, you know, the end of April, I got to move into this particular spot, and I'm here till the end of the season. So, which is the end of October.
Can I ask, Ty, like, was the city itself, the way the city has changed, was that top of the list what you wanted to get away from?
So for me, it was the competition.
Okay.
I love our construction friends and family, and, you know, general contractors, and, you know, it's community as opposed to the competition side of things. But what it was bidding, and bidding on all these jobs and going up against, you know, normally you'd maybe get 3 to 5, but I was finding it was much more than that. And this past year of quoting on jobs, and I'm like, I don't even want to throw my hat in the ring on some of these jobs. One lady told me she had 20 people that was coming. I was number 4, and I just closed my book and walked. I said, I'm not even going to give you a price. It was also, you know, specifically downtown. So I was kind of cutting myself off at about, you know, being in Mississauga, 427 Etobicoke Range, you know, the Humber River.
Yeah.
And if I did get work in the city, it was by referral. I would pursue those 100%. But I wasn't chasing jobs in the downtown core because I didn't have to. Everything, you know, west of the city, and, you know, traffic and parking, and, you know, some of the guys not wanting to drive more than an hour away from home base.
Yeah.
So it was even harder for me to get some of my own personal in-house guys to want to go in, because then they're sitting in traffic for 2 hours coming home. They're like, I don't want to do it. So I stopped looking at those jobs. But for me too, it was that I just wanted to get out of the noise, out of the busyness, and away to some peace and quiet to just kind of, you know, heal myself, because I was really struggling for a while, you know, and I just wasn't enjoying it. I just wasn't enjoying the chase. So I needed to pivot and make this change. And I told my guys what I was going to do, and if I could get them involved in any of these jobs remotely with me for X amount of time, then I'd bring them in. And if it didn't work out, this is where I'll be. And I'm still farming work to them, as I can get the jobs. So, you know, they've been few and far between recently, but I do have projects coming up in August. I have a big garage in Oakville coming up in October. We're working on plans now. So forward thinking, I'm getting some, you know, nice little jobs that are coming up. They just weren't immediate. So the jobs I am working on right now are on a contract basis, and I'm working hourly on some of them, or, you know, a monthly fee. And I'm not the total boss, which is great. Just putting in my time.
But that wasn't the case like 5 years ago. That wasn't how you were, or the industry that you were in, or the business that you were building, right?
No, it was quoting, and you could go in 2 or 3 jobs and you'd get the job, you know, on fair pricing. And the prices, you know, early on, even through the pandemic, I mean, we could charge whatever we wanted and we would get the job.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different story a few years ago. And now people are really shopping with the inflation rate and cost. And even this particular big house that I'm second lead hand on, out of the group of guys that are in there. And the homeowner is like, I just had to get the best deal I could, because this has just costed a fortune overall. And he's just negotiated with everybody. And I'm feeling that across the board. You know, and it's been a struggle for painters to get jobs, and plumbers, and other things, you know, because they're in the same boat.
Do you think that, Ty, like, I'm just trying to figure out, you went up there in April, you're going to still be there until what, October, November?
The end of October, yep.
Okay,
yep.
So when you got there in April, I mean, if you can kind of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy were you or not? And then how are you now?
I was relieved. So coming in April and May, I was getting set up for one particular job. And then, you know, it got stopped. You know, there's permit issues. The one job was completely abandoned right now. They can't get their back end financing for the job. And I moved to this particular park last September to be here. So my trailer was in storage. So when I got to move into my spot full time, I had got this other job that was locked in. So I'm like, good, I got work up here. So I started networking last year for other jobs. I was looking forward to these projects. But I wasn't as happy from January until April because of the lack of work that I was not getting. I wasn't getting a lot of contracts. I had very little work. I was back into swinging a hammer again. And then suddenly come May, you know, when I finally got up here and was ready to get going, it was slow and steady. And it just felt good to be here then after I closed my office down in May. And I didn't have that pressure of the shop and the noise and the busyness. And, you know, I'm extremely calm here now. And I don't have television. I got like two radio stations. You know, my internet through Starlink right now is very sporadic because I'm in a forest. It's a very different type of park that I'm in. So, you know, I'm content with that. And my personality is different. I feel I'm a lot calmer right now. And I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 9.5 right now out of 10.
Nice.
You know, I feel really good to be here, and I'm kind of getting my head back so that I can continue to be in the game, you know?
And so I'm just going to tie into something that we talked about on our last show, which was, you know, if you're at these crossroad moments where you're feeling like you're not enjoying the job that you have, the work that you're doing, you know, the point at which you were at before with your business. And then, you know, Manny said, you know, how do you decide to like take the leap to move in the direction of your happiness? And so, you know, I was suggesting talking and really listening to your intuition, you know, what your gut instinct is telling you. And, you know, when you think about your current situation, how do you feel? And then when you think about the potential of going and taking steps and moving in the direction of where you're feeling guided, which is where you are now. I'm just wondering, you know, what made you decide to take the leap? And, you know, was it a little bit of that? Was it, you know, some, you know, you listening to your intuition, or are you just getting to the point that you're just so, you know, sick and tired of where you were and that you're like, no, like, I just need to do that now? Because, you know, Manny was just expressing a little bit of fear, right? That somebody could have to say, you know, do I totally leave, you know, what I know and what I've been doing and what's familiar to me to be able to like jump to something new and not know how it's going to be. And I always trust in the universe or in God or spirit or, you know, whatever you want to call it, that it always has my back. It's always fully supporting me. And that if I'm feeling guided to take the leap, I will.
Yes.
But it's also my personality to take the leap in like kind of small steps because I don't want to fall completely on my face. So like, I'm not that ballsy to be able to just like, oh, I'm doing it and just screw everything. No, I'll kind of like feel it out a little bit. And then when I feel like, yeah, the water's warm, then I'll take a leap. And so I was just wondering, like, obviously it's paid off for you. So I want to highlight this point just because it ties into something we talked about at our last show. You know, what was that like for you? And, you know, why would you encourage other people to follow their joy?
Well, for me, it came down to, you know, looking for this, I'm just going to hop in my truck here a little quieter. I got the wind suddenly started picking up here.
No problem.
The leap for me was, I've always trusted kind of my instinct. I've always been good at you know, taking action or being able to, you know, mix with people or other areas and being, you know, moving. I mean, I lived in Vancouver and built a home there. I traveled up and down the coast in California, working and living out of my trailer then, you know, 14 years ago. And so scaling down was important to me. Cutting back on my expenses was important to me due to the lack of work. So you got to trust your instinct and listen to your accountant as well. And I had to start cutting back expenses in order to maintain. And in order to maintain, you know, the shop at $5,000 a month was not feasible with the lack of work that was coming in. So I had to just chop it off at the knees and, you know, focus on my gut of going in to do this niche market work and go in to do these projects that I know I'm qualified enough to do, and, you know, contacted people. And I just have the confidence, you know, if I can express to anybody, once you have years of experience and hands on, if you've got the confidence to, you know, talk to somebody, approach somebody, ask for work, tell them your, you know, your skill set. It was easy for me to come up here because, you know, for me, the simple life is, it's a lot easier. We don't need a lot of stuff. You know, I don't have a mortgage payment. I don't have a house. My rent is paid for the entire year up until the end of October. And, you know, I have limited expenses right now, and I've got some great work. So for me, it was easy. I'm also single, you know, which is a good thing. If you're married and you have kids, I have a son here, and I'm co-parenting, so I still get him on my regular weekends and summer holidays and vacation, and everything is very scheduled. And, you know, we work to coordinate that, but I'm solo in terms of, you know, my living quarters and my ability to be here and just networking with new people. And, I'm very confident in that manner. So if you can maintain your confidence and it can align with your, skills and ability to do work, then there will always be some work, you know? So I've been up here, you know, like I said, I first moved in last September. And I've networked with a lot of good people up here now, and I have a lot of work now until at least the end of October. And then if there's enough work for the winter, maybe I'll have to rent a room or do something, or then I'll, you know, reluctantly move back to the city and do what I can back down that way. But it was an easy move for me once I decided that this is what I need to go do, because the jobs were active, they were committed, and I had to be here. So naturally being here, other work just starts to naturally present itself because I'm putting myself out there.
Did you care, Ty, that how you were going to be perceived by people when you told them that, listen, I'm closing this, I'm shutting down, I'm focusing on me?
I got a lot of support, like recently with some of my posts, because I went silent for a little while. And another thing that I really did that, you know, kind of gave me my healing time back for me to heal a little bit and just kind of regroup was getting off social for a while, cutting back on my consumption time. And, you know, I'd watch and I'd comment here and there, but I'd stop posting because I wasn't ready to start posting again because I just wasn't there yet, you know, mentally. Mm-hmm. And the feedback I was getting, oh man, you SOB, you're living the dream. Look at you. And I'm like, guys, be happy for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to show this as jealousy. It's like, you can make the move too. And some other podcasts that I've listened to or mentors that I had, because I was a member of Arate for a couple of years.
Yep.
I just couldn't afford the buy-in again. So for me too, it was like, man, it's $5,000 a year, $6,000 a year to be a part of this membership mentorship group. And I'm like, I couldn't do it this year again. So I opted out of that. So I'm reading my notes and just going back over things like that. But, overall, I'm getting a lot of good support. They're like, good for you, Ty. I'm still giving lots of referrals out to my, you know, local trades and subs that were down there. And, you know, for the most part, everybody's pretty happy for me.
Good.
You know, it's just that I've stepped back and cut down and really just tried to get back into my groove again, you know, and I'll be back. I've got a couple of big jobs coming up. There's a big warehouse in Guelph that I've been negotiating with the client or talking with for the last couple of years. And once they get the funding on that, I'll probably have the job. It's a repeat customer for 5 or 6 years. So those are nice to look forward to. And when they happen. And I'll actively continue to pursue any of my good referrals down in the city or elsewhere. And, you know, network and build my team. And, you know, my main lead carpenter and site foreman guy can run the jobs while I'm working remotely. I may not have to be on the jobs, but if I am, then I'll head back into the city, you know, accordingly. But other than that, I don't want to go back. Not right now.
And I think when we decide to prioritize our happiness and we love ourselves enough to be able to take steps to support, like to honor and love and respect ourselves, how we're feeling and our decisions, that when we decide to do that, that we figure out who are those people around us who really love us.
Yes.
And that really care about our well-being, because the ones who really love us want us to be happy. They want us to be healthy. They want us to achieve our goals. They want that for us. It's the naysayers. It's the ones that are jealous, the ones that are envious, the ones that aren't really, like, maybe they're hanging around for who knows what reason, right? And when they see people being happy and living their best life, they don't like it. Right. So it's like, okay, well, good. Now I know that you're not someone who needs to be in my inner circle, because you would like stab me in the back if you had a chance, because you don't have like my best interest at heart. So that also, that when I started to show up for myself the way that I needed to, instead of expecting everybody else to love me and to support me and to encourage me. No, they don't. We have to do that for ourselves. And that, and in the process of doing that, I discovered who are those people who really care about me. Who are those people that if I, you know, it was in, you know, a pickle and in a tough situation, who are those ones who that I could call on and would be there for me because they really love me. And I think that those, all of like that, life is always showing us more about who we are. And I think that that is another way for us to be able to differentiate who's really there for us because they care.
It's very true. And what I did also too, in the last couple of years, I've just been, you know, cutting people off, people that I don't want to associate anymore with. You know, I'm not a clubber guy or, you know, going out and so forth. I very much like to keep to myself. I do have a good core group of friends, like you said, but others that I have no more time for any of the BS and any of that crap and the dramas and the stories and the gossip. I'm not that person. I don't want to be around it. And that's just negative energy to me. And I'm about being positive and giving positive energy. And I'll tell a friend to his face, and if I talk to somebody else about that friend, I've said exactly the same thing to that person's face. I've always been like that. I'm not afraid to be that or do that, and that's something that I know I can say to anybody, because if I told you, I'm going to tell that to that guy, and it's the same story, you know. So I'm never caught in a web or something, you know, being as truthful as you possibly can. And you know, I'm divorced twice, and you know, we get along very well. Which is, you know, hard for a lot of people to say, but I get along with both my exes. I have three beautiful children. They all get along well. They make me very happy. And, you know, so I, you know, if I've been making some posts with my two older kids, you know, cause they're on social media, and I'll see a like from them or a love heart from them or something, that makes me really happy, you know, cause they're watching, you know, it's, you know, and I get a lot of compliments, like even in my DMs, like, I made a post there a couple of weeks ago and my freaking DMs lit up, you know, and I was like, wow, random people too, just random. And you know this too, Manny, like you get hit up by random people all the time, and it just was a feel good moment. Hey, thanks for sharing that. That's really nice. Or just a simple little 2-line compliment. Like I impacted somebody just with a little video that I made that was 30 seconds long.
We usually get those when we're actually going through our own shit too.
Of course.
And that's why we're sharing. We're sharing because we're going through our own shit and it's resonating with people that are following us. So
great word. It resonates. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So it's like, we're not alone, man. It's like, we're not alone. And I'd love for, like, if you can't, I just, what's the one thing that you discovered about yourself being up there and seeing things differently now?
So now that I've been here and I'm really absorbing it, I realize that I am a pretty strong person.
Nice.
That I am capable of doing, you know, the work that I'm still doing. Like, you know, I've been in this business since, you know, 1987. My knees hurt. My hands are all freaking cut up this week. You know, like,
that's normal.
It out. You know, normal, good, hard work day. Yes. You know, we're getting rained out. We're delayed. We're behind. The guy, we're working, you know, longer days when the sun's just to meet these targets. But I know that I'm a strong person. I know that I've still got it in me to work for many more years. I don't want to stop doing construction. I really don't. I really absolutely do enjoy what I'm doing. And I know that I provide good quality work. I'm giving it my best effort. And I know when I leave a job site, like I always have, I sleep really good at night.
Nice.
You know, so knowing that I've done something well. Yeah, it's true. Well, thank you. You know, and it's, I think everybody should be like that. But what I found here too is, you know, also once again, coming back to, you know, I live in a trailer. It's 30 feet long, 8 feet wide. I've got a beautiful little lot. I got really lucky. This particular lot that I'm on is number 5. My last name is Nickel. You know, it's like the yin and the yang are aligning for me. Yeah. And, you know, my mom and dad and aunt and uncle were on this lake back in the late 50s and early 60s before I was ever even thought of.
Yeah.
8 years later, I'm on the exact same lake as my father. Mm-hmm. You know, and what are the chances, you know, a million lakes that are up here in Northern Ontario, and I happen to move into this one, and I told my mom, and she's like, pardon? What's the name of the lake? And here I am. It just gave me chills. I literally just got goosebumps telling you that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like I'm supposed to be here right now. Wow. At this point totally. In my life, and everything that I've done through my healing process, and I used to chant many years ago, so I've been chanting a little bit here. I do my Nam-myoho Renge Kyo's. Mm-hmm. You know, up here, I have my little moments. I have my routine, and it's just, you know, I give my thanks and my gratitude every morning. You know, I'm grateful to be here. You know, I'm grateful that I got a roof over my head. I'm able to provide a little bit that I can right now and continue to do work, and that's what makes me happy.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ty. Is there anything else you want to share?
No, you summed it up so beautifully there. So thank you
I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Ty, honestly.
And thank you, Manny, for always, like, supporting us in the industry. And, you know, I know a lot of guys, you know, in the healing process of it, we are all going through the same stuff. Yes. We're not alone. And it's good to communicate. And, you know, we need to let others know if there's, you know, if anybody out there, you want to DM me and give me a message, I'm happy to respond and give you the best guidance that I can and spend a few minutes with you. So Thanks again.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the day. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. And it's always good to chat with you, bro.
Thank you so much for having me, you two. Thanks very much. You have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care.
All the best. Cheers. Bye-bye. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Ty's such a great guy. I think he's my age. I think he's maybe a year older than me, but he's relatively my age. And I saw it. I saw when he shared that online, and I did say to him, I DM'd him, and I'm like, I'm jealous. I'm envious, because he was literally just turning the switch off of every kind of bullshit thing that was going on in his life. And he realized that he had to confront it, and he was just doing it. And he was also letting everybody know, I'm going to disappear for a little bit. And it's okay to disappear. Mm-hmm. 100% it's okay to disappear. And it's hard in this digital age, right? It's very, very difficult. Like, even in the early days in social, when I was trying to disappear, you remember the color bars, whenever you would pass out at night in front of the TV and you wake up to the color bars and the tone? I used to put that as my post. I'm gone for a week. I need to disappear. And that post was just color bars and tone. And that's eventually what's going to happen someday. Like, I'll stop doing this show. I'll stop being on social media because I want to focus on me. I would have felt that I've done enough for what I can for the industry, and I'm going to focus more on me and what I want to do, and I'll achieve other things with other people. And I think that's important that he's grabbing that. And I love that he got a lot of support, which was amazing, because I think people have changed over the last few years. I think their understanding of what others are going through, because they're going through it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was good to chat with him.
Yeah, what stood out for me was him valuing himself and all that he brings to the table, right? That he was able to recognize all that he is, to say, like, you know what, I can make this jump. I can go out there because I'm good at this. I'm good at this. I have these gifts. I have these traits. I have these skills. And so I think sometimes we don't value ourselves the way that we need to really reflect and say, what are those things that I'm really, really good at? What do I bring to the table? And what can other people value about me? And that when we know what our strengths are, we can put those things forward. And research has shown that when we use our strengths often and in new ways, it helps to increase our happiness, and it improves the quality of our life. So we feel more excited, more engaged, and more authentic. And I was hearing him say all of that, you know, there he is up there. He's able to chant. He's able to, you know, do his little habitual things that he does to, like, you know, probably connect with himself. And
he's finding his happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Within himself. Yeah. And sometimes it is about disconnecting and getting away from the noise, because in the noise, it's hard for us to find that clarity of, like, what direction we need to take. And we are conditioned and taught to ask other people their opinions. And so, you know, just tying back to our last show is that, you know, we want to ask, what do you think? But that's not necessarily like the right thing for us to do, because we are being guided inside of here. And as he said, he was listening to his intuition and he knew that this is what he needed to do. And so this is what we need to honor, what we're being guided to do, and not have to feel the need to ask everyone around us what we should be doing, because either they poo-poo on our dreams, they discourage us, they tell us it's no good, we'll never be able to do it, or they give us the wrong advice because it's not their path, it's our path. And so we need to learn to go inward, to be in those quiet spaces, to receive that guidance, and then honoring it, and valuing ourselves and what we bring to the table. And until we value ourselves, other people are not going to value you or what you do. And so they'll see it.
If you start valuing yourself, they'll see it.
Yeah. And they're then, like, I want to work with that person. Yeah. I need that person.
Like I got that when I was like, when he was talking, he went up there with so much uncertainty. He had a little bit of planning beforehand to try to see if he can get something. But when he did arrive there, he wasn't exactly sure if this was going to work. And then when he started focusing on himself and working and understanding that he's not the top dog on the job site, now he's taking a back seat, he started attracting other business coming towards him. Now he's getting work back where he left, and he's giving that work to other people, which is such a good feeling as a contractor, that you're feeding other people. You don't want to do it because you're taking moments for yourself now, but the work is still coming in because you built a business, you built a brand, and you've got a reputation. So if he can help other people back here, then that just makes him feel great. And then he's going to attract people up there and he's going to get more work. Mm-hmm. And to be very honest, as much as he joked about the winter coming up and he's given himself until October, I think he's doing so well personally and also now professionally, he's getting back into it. He's probably going to have more work up there. Yeah. And that might be the environment for him to be there, mm-hmm. right? Which mm-hmm. is amazing.
Yeah. I also heard him say how much he's enjoying his work. Yes. Right, that he's passionate
and we
about.
Lose that enjoyment uh-huh. over the years, we do, and I know what he's talking about,
and he's reconnected with that, right? And so even though it's hard work, he's reconnected and he knows that he's bringing value to other people through his work, and that makes him feel good. So it's in the serving of others that we receive so much in return. So when we know we're doing good things for other people and we're showing up authentically and with the best of intentions, then we get so much out of that. And I heard him say that in his words too. So, excellent.
You ready to call Christina?
Yes.
Okay, let me just see. I've given her a heads up. Ty was just sending me a text. He's saying he was wearing a TCL baseball cap. that's funny. So, I think she should be fine. She just went with a bike. She went for a bike ride with her kids. So I just want to confirm, and I gave her a heads up of being ready for 140.
And I want to thank Adlin Construction for this lovely hoodie that
it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, hoodie. He sent me a bunch of stuff. He sent me the cup. He sent me the coffee mug, some carpenter's pencil, the hoodie, the T-shirt.
Yeah, thank you, because it's cold in this room. So. And this hoodie is like very well insulated. So I just want to say, you know, thank you so much for outfitting me for this particular episode and keeping me toasty warm.
This is Christina.
Hello.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, Manny. How are you?
I'm good. You can hear me fine?
Yep.
I want to introduce you to Teresa Greco on the other side of the podcast table.
Hi.
Hi, Teresa. How are you doing?
Good. So lovely to have you on the show today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
How was the ride? Was it okay?
It was good. It was good. Just powering through, trying to get back home. And it's a hot one.
It's a little warm. How's Jay doing? He's okay? Was he there too or no?
Oh, yeah. We were on the bikes together, but he cheated because he had an electric bike.
He's a man. Men are, you know, that's what they do. You never want to play Scrabble with me. I'll cheat all the time. Simple as that. I keep score.
But you know what? It's okay because he had the kids on the back of that, so... It's fair.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Christina, for making time. I know you guys are all busy, and I just want to kind of just get you on the show. And like I mentioned to you on the messages that we're talking back, Teresa, she's a happiness coach. And actually, Jay, he called in on the first show that we did, and it was great. So we just want to talk to you about, you know, where you're finding happiness in your life right now, and hopefully that you can find some more happiness, and what else is going right, what's going wrong, or and dive in as much as you possibly can, as much as you want to share.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I feel like happiness is it's obviously it's so subjective for everybody, and I don't think it's something you could just attain one time. I really think it's something that it can be very fleeting, happiness. So I think it's something you need to work on consciously to attain, whether it's daily or monthly, or if it's something long term. But I do think it's something you need to maintain. You don't just become happy and then that's it.
Do you find it more difficult as we get older to kind of maintain that happiness? Because I guess life just keeps on throwing more curveballs at us.
Yeah, I think it's different. I think I want to say it's easier and harder at the same time, because I feel like as we're younger, like it's so much easier. Just everything makes you happy, that childlike innocence. And we lose that right as we get older. But it's funny because, you know, just thinking about, you know, our kids and, oh, let's get them these toys and it'll make them happy. And a perfect example, yesterday we were at my in-laws and, you know, we're like, oh, let's play with this airplane. And the kids were just like, man, they were okay for a little bit, but we literally took a paper towel roll and we were playing with it, literally just throwing it back and forth with each other for half an hour. And we were all involved and we were so happy. Like we had that, it's like we got back that innocence of playing with something that's it's a piece of garbage, but it was just so much fun. We made it so much fun, and I think that's something that we kind of lose as we get older. If that makes sense.
I want to clarify a little bit about what you're saying. So happiness is something that is innately within us, as it's part of our spiritual self. It's part of like the energetic part of us. And it's basically our disconnection or misalignment from it. So we never lose it. It's because we're disconnected from it. So it's like the electricity that's always flowing through all the walls. And there's a socket there that allows us to plug in and connect with it. So it's always there. Happiness is always within us to feel. It's our disconnection from it. We're not plugging into it. And knowing what are those things that help us to plug in, because the world is always pulling us away, exactly as you said. It's always pulling us away. And it's important for people to recognize that happiness is not lost. It is inside of us. It's like our arm. Like you can't lose it. It is always inside, flowing, ready to be tapped into, and to be tapped into in abundance. There's always lots of it, but we don't always prioritize it. We don't always align with it. And knowing what are those things that help us to plug in, help to align, to realign, because it's our misalignment. So when our mental self isn't thinking positive things, or when our physical self isn't doing actions that help our body to create happiness hormones, then physically we're not aligned. Emotionally, as you said, you feel like you're happy, you know, one day you're not happy the next, because emotionally you're not aligned with the part of yourself that is always happy. Now, our emotional self helps guide us back to our happiness. So when we're not feeling happy, we need to say, oh, I'm not feeling happy in this moment. What do I need to do? What actions do I need to take to help bring me back? And it's often very simple things. As you said, you know, they're playing with paper towel roll, all of a sudden, you know, huge joy in that, right? So it is often very simple things that can help veer us back, that help plug us into that socket, to help realign ourselves back to the happiness that is always, and this is like so important, like a part of my message to people is, when you know that happiness is always inside of you to feel, then it's like a huge weight can be taken off your shoulders to say, oh, it's inside of me. Okay, so if I'm not feeling it in this moment, what do I need to do to reconnect?
Yeah, I love that. That's actually such a better way to look at it.
It is. It's like that huge weight taken off to say, oh, okay, if it's inside of me, what's misaligned?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that society today with social media, I think it does connect us and it's done beautiful things, but I do think that it's a huge part of the disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when you're on social media, how do you, because I spend, for me, social media is work. I go on, I do yeah. like my posts for work, whatever, and then I come off. Because as soon as I'm on there, which is just like, I don't know, if you had spare time or something like that, I don't feel good. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. like, you know, emotions of comparison come up, mm-hmm. emotions yep. of envy come up, and I'm like, ew, ew, ew. And right away, I'm like, it's off, because I don't like what it's bringing up for me. So yep. when you say that you feel like it's a source of your unhappiness, what do you feel bubbling up for you when you go on there?
It's like a combination, especially, like, you know, there's the feelings of not feeling worthy or not mm-hmm. good enough. But then there's the other parts of, you know, especially there's a lot of influencers, you know, being a mother, and you're seeing a lot of these influencers on social media, and they're just showing their perfect lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're always done up and they look great. It's like, I wake up in the morning and
but
I look
it's not
like
reality.
And, and it's not reality. And it's trying to remember that that's not real. Mm-hmm. That's not attainable. It's not sustainable. Like, maybe you can try to make your house look like that and make sure everything looks perfect, but at the end of the day, how much are you actually focusing on your family and what you're trying to portray?
Mm-hmm. And that's
then putting on that mask.
Yeah. And I feel like that too. When I look at people that, you know, maybe do work similar to me, and I'm like, wow, look what they're doing. What they're achieving. Look how farther along mm-hmm. they are on the path. And I'm like, and then you start to feel like inadequate almost, right? Like, oh no, I'm not working on my business as much. I'm not doing, and then I have to refocus, right? I have to regroup. Yeah. So if I don't spend time on there, then I don't have to refocus and regroup. I'm always connected to, like, what steps do I need to take today to align myself with my goals and aspirations? And when you just know that every day you're making steps forward and taking care of your family and getting up and brushing your, you know, I was there too. I'm, you know, mom of two, and sometimes you don't brush your teeth till like by the time your husband comes home from work. And it's like, oh my God, like it's 6 o'clock already. How the heck did the whole day fly? But it does. It's like so super busy. And when yeah. we're putting, you know, the needs of others ahead of our own, because you know, it's a challenging time when you've got small kids at home.
Mm-hmm. And I find it hard just to, like, being a mother, like that becomes your identity. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful because there's the other part of you that's, you're not just a mother. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's something definitely that, like, I've, the last 4 years, that's what I've been struggling with, right? Like, I became a mother, but that's not who I am. I'm still Christina. You know, I'm a behavior analyst. I am an artist. I am all these other things. And remembering to identify with those pieces, because I'm happy being a mother, but I'm also happy being an artist, being a behavior analyst, being, you know, a gym enthusiast, being like all those things.
There's more to you. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting. You're the first guest that's come on the show that I actually know you and I know your husband. And so I'm just curious, like, obviously I've never been married and you'll never catch me in that land. But the thing is, like, I'm curious about, couples are not always perfectly in tune with happiness. There could be one day that you're happy, could be another day that he's happy and vice versa. But how do you mm-hmm. guys as a couple navigate those waters? Like when someone is a little down and someone's a little up or whatever, how does it work?
I think they're just, in my experience, there has to be, communication's always big, and you always hear people talking about communication and how important it is, but it really sets the foundation too of being able to, and trust with your partner, to trust that you can communicate with them openly about, you know, how you're feeling. So, you know, do we have the perfect marriage? I don't know. I don't think there is a perfect
Nobody
marriage,
does.
But I know. Yeah. And, you know, we have good days and we have bad days, but the most important thing is when we're down, we try to support each other and try to recognize, you know, they're not having a good day. Do they need space? Do they need me to come in? Like, you have to be able to, and it doesn't just come to you. It's we've been together 14, 15 years now, and we still don't have it right all the time. Like, there's times where Jay's like, well, just get away. Yeah. Just get away. Just get, let me breathe. And then there's times where he's like, well, you didn't ask me how I felt. So it's definitely a work in progress, and just trusting that, you know, your partner's doing the best that they can to support you and just being there for each other. It is hard, especially when you become parents. It definitely changes the dynamic.
Do you guys find that your kids bolt you into happiness at times without realizing it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Kids and pets.
Yeah.
They're there to remind us to play. They're there to remind us to play. Spirit always says, like, take the guidance from kids and pets, because your pet will be like, hey, it's time to go for a walk now, mm-hmm. yeah. which is actually yeah. like, it's time for you to take a break now.
Yeah. yeah.
And then you need to get outside now. And it's like tugging at you. And the kids are the same thing. They're like, play with me. Like, take me for yeah. a bike ride. Let's go outside. And it's, instead of looking at it like as a nuisance, it's actually like, it's us connecting with that, like, play again, right? That child inside of us that is still there, that the person I was at 5 years old is still inside me. The person I was at 10 is still inside me. The energetic yeah. part of you that has been looking out through your eyes your entire life is that soul, that spirit part of you. Mm-hmm. And it's always learning, growing, and expanding. And so when we connect with our pets and our kids, that's why grandparents say, like on our last show, we had somebody's like, oh, I'm getting so much joy from
the grandkids.
Yeah, yeah. It's because it reminds us of like that child place within ourselves. And it's so beautiful to be able to like to lean into it and know that, like, I have a sister who has a young baby just under two, and I was mm-hmm. on a video call with her, and I was listening to her baby on the other side, and I'm like, oh, it's like you don't, when you're in it, you don't yeah. realize, you know, how precious and how sweet it is till, you know, you're out of it. And I think yeah. many of us don't live enough in the moment, right? We feel it's overwhelmed. So and I see a lot of parents these days not living in the moment with their kids, and instead they have their phone in their hand and they're on social mm-hmm. media, and the kids are just like running all over, you know, at their restaurant or wherever. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, are you out with your kid right now, or are you on your yeah. phone and your kid's just an add-on?
Yeah, it's sad. It actually, like, I do get sad when I see that, because we do see it quite often when we go out with the kids mm-hmm. and we have a rule, like, the kids don't have iPads or phones. We don't bring them at the table when we're out, especially at restaurants, unless it's like an emergency. But it's mm-hmm. just because we try to remember what it was like when we were children. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And we found joy and happiness listening to our parents' yes. conversations.
Yes, yes.
I loved that as a kid. Yes. So,
that yes. and tablecloths. I used to mess around with a tablecloth all the time. Like, you'd yeah. be pulling it. You'd be pulling it, sliding it, just seeing if anybody started noticing that the dishware, the cups are moving magically. Like, that's the shit disturber in me. That's just yeah, how it, that was my entertainment back then. Yeah. Right? It works. Uh-huh. So, no, it's really about trying to find those moments and get caught up, because we know life just beats us down. I mean, we have yeah. our responsibilities. We have our worries. We wonder where we are this year, next year, what the government's doing, not doing, what our financial situation's like, where am I happy with work? Am I all this other stuff? But not to forget all the little things that we do have in our lives that are actually contributing to quite a bit of happiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And yeah. And it's so important. Those little moments and just letting go. I feel like a big part too is just letting go of worrying about what other people think and worrying about this or that. Just enjoy. Like, just enjoy and be happy mm-hmm. in the moment.
Yes.
Whenever you can.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else to ask, Teresa? Thank you so much, Christina. I really appreciate it. Say hi to Jay and everybody for me.
I will. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Thanks so much. I got to get you back on, because there is a rumor that I wanted to do a show with significant others of contractors and have all women in the studio. And that was a conversation that I had with Jay, and I'm trying to still plan that as well too. So, because I think that would be a very interesting conversation, not having the men here and having all the women here discussing the men. and see how that
get to be a part of that.
You want to be
a, I'm in.
Totally, you get to be a part of that. Of course you get. So Teresa will be back on that one. We'll totally forget it. Okay, we'll get that one going as well. So thank you, Christina. Beautiful. Enjoy the rest of the day. Cool down, and then we'll talk soon.
You too. Thanks so much, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So the good point that came out of that conversation was definitely communication, mm-hmm. how important it is. And I wanted to mention to her that that communication piece is so important, in that I just always felt like my husband would know what I needed. That when he came home, and, you know, he owns his own business, like construction too. I've been in the construction industry my whole life, but from the other perspective, and that he'd come home and it was like eat, sleep, repeat for him. Eat, sleep, repeat. It was that. And I just thought,
they don't even notice it sometimes when they do it.
No, I don't think they do. But it's that's what he knew growing up, right? Yeah. His father was that, eat, sleep, repeat. And so he didn't know that when he had to come home, he, you know, I wanted help with the kids, or I wanted him to put the dishwasher maybe on while I was bathing the kids. He didn't know. And I just thought, well, of course he must know. Like, doesn't he see the dish, like the sink is full? Doesn't he see that I need to like put the kids to bed? Doesn't he see the toys need to be picked up? No, they don't. They don't. And it's because he didn't grow up with a father that did any of that, right? So he didn't know differently. And I thought intuitively he must know. And then I was holding resentment toward him because I thought, oh, well, he's doing it on purpose. He just, you know, he only cares about himself and he needs to go and lie down. But, oh, well, I need to lie down. I need time for myself. And so the communication wasn't great. And so it is so important for us to communicate what our needs are and not doing it in an angry frustration way, right? So like when you're pulling out your hair, that's not a great time to like yell at your husband now and say, can you, you know, freaking go in and do this and that. It's, you know, in those moments of like where, you know, things are calm and say, you know what, honey, like it would be really great that way if you came home. And and that's where the communication piece is. Or he'd be holding resentment, you know, toward me for certain needs that he had, but I was consumed, you know, doing stuff for the family, and he didn't communicate. So he was also like, well, you know, I needed this, and, you know, you weren't there for me. Well, like, did you ever, you know, express any of this? So the communication is so important.
But we're naturally designed to retract and just assume they should already know it. But that's not the case.
They can't read our minds.
No, nobody can, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great thing. That no one can read our minds.
Social media is trying to do that. They're trying to understand how to read our minds. They're trying to come up with things to. I love that she talked about toning down the social media. Mm-hmm. I love that you're making something out of a paper towel. Like, that's just like simple. Like, there's lots of things, and I miss doing those little stupid things. It's just like, it puts a smile on your face. It's simple as that, right? So if you can do that, then that's wonderful. Then try to find those little moments in life.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's what they're doing. They're such a great couple, and it's always a pleasure to talk to them. You want to talk? We can call Tula.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to share before we get to
Tula? No, was good.
It's kind of funny that she I was bringing up the whole significant. We've been trying to do that one for a little while now.
Call has been forwarded to voicemail.
Let me just text her. I'll just call this. Oh, yeah. Here she is. Oh, shit. So she's just saying she can't do it. Nina hasn't slept yet. The war is now on. Trying to put her now. Worst timing. It's okay. That's why she didn't answer.
That's okay.
She gave me a heads up. She gave me a heads up that she was all by herself. Because Andrew was working, and then she was going to be with her child, and that she might be a little loud in the background. And I said, I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. It's fine. It's totally fine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What did you want? We can discuss other things.
I think we should talk about more about how, you know, she brought up, you know, how life doesn't feel like it's always happy. Right. And I was
trying. It's not.
No. But I think we could talk about that.
Yeah.
More. Okay.
Okay. Well, no, we are. Okay. Are we not, Todd? Yeah.
Well, just so that there's a clear break. So when you have to edit, it's a clear break.
No, but I got to leave in the part where she can't make it now just because things are just like life. Life is happening, as simple as that. So we can try to coordinate as many people to come on the show and have a conversation. But yeah, I agree with you. And I go through the exact same thing too. Like there's moments like, here's the really interesting thing is that people will listen to me on this show and people will see me on my posts and they think that my life is perfect. And I'm like, just, that's not the truth. Like when I'm on the show, I try to be 100% on the show. There's like out of 600 plus shows, I maybe have had a dozen or so shows that I've been off and I've been off for my own, what's going on in my life. But I take the mentality of, I get to meet somebody. I get to speak to them. I have the privilege of understanding who they are and they're possibly going to educate me on some insight that is going to help me and possibly help other people that are, that are probably going through the exact same things. So I got to be on. It's as simple as that. That's all I could say. So it doesn't matter if I'm feeling like crap or if I'm going through something bad, I'm technically not happy. I still got to be absorbed in this conversation. So I try my best, but for the most part, everyone thinks that I'm on. I've never had somebody reach out because of the show and say, man, what the hell's going on there? Like something's going on or some shit like that. I've had that a few times on social media posts, right? Because I've shared certain things on posts that I haven't shared on the show. But I just want people to understand that I'm not perfect and there's things that I'm going through and then there's lots of things that people are going through. So I can only imagine, and I joke about the marriage thing all the time, but it's tough. It's difficult to be husband, wife, or you know, wife, husband, and you're going, like, not everything's perfect at that point. And you're not having the greatest of day, and then your partner's not having the greatest of day. And then you guys are just feeding each other that negativity, and that's what you don't want. But if you can at least be understanding between the two and try to get back to a place that's better than where you are right now, then that's what she was talking about, which is great.
That support system that you, yeah, that you have at home, absolutely. But it's important for us to recognize that happiness, that, you know, what we may be, that's why some people say, oh, happiness and joy are different. Happiness is like that, oh, in the moment, you're having a good time, you're feeling nice, that's happiness. But joy is more of that, you know, kind of internal, everlasting feeling of happiness that is always there. So I use the word synonymously. I don't think there's a difference. I think that pleasure is different, that you could be doing something pleasurable in the moment, whether you're at a hockey game or out with friends or whatever, you're doing something pleasurable and you're feeling good in the moment. But then if you go, now you go home and now you're not in the presence of those people and now all of a sudden you start to feel down, that's not really what happiness is. Happiness is, as I said, that spiritual self, it's always with you. It's in you and extending far outside of you. So it's always inside of you to feel. You're never disconnected from it. It's like you're not disconnected from your arm. So if you're not feeling it in every moment, then you're misaligned. And the world is always misaligning us. And so it's like, okay, what steps can I take to reconnect? What's it? And being in the present moment is where happiness is found. So that strategy that you said, that when you come in and it's time for you to be on here at the show and being totally present to like the conversation and the person that you're with, that's how we realign. So when I came in,
it's unfair of me to not do that.
No, but many people aren't. They're here, yeah, but they're thinking about what they need to do later.
I know.
Or they're thinking about, you know, something that happened earlier in the day. So my morning didn't start off great.
Yeah.
It did, but then it was starting to unravel again. And so it's like, but I can't, like, after, you know, being together with you and having these conversations, I feel so much better. And it's because I'm tapped in again. And our spiritual self is like the fountain of youth. It is the energetic part of us. So as soon as we plug in, it's like energizer batteries, like zzz, and I'm all powered up. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm thinking clearer. I feel lighter. I just feel some, because I'm completely here and absorbed and appreciating the gift of this moment and the presence of you and those that have given their time to us today to share their information and their lives with us. It just feels so good. And that's what we're talking about.
Way back when, on the early days of this show, I used to do this show with Carlito, who's another contractor. And way back when, and I used to do it with Mikey DiMartino and then Carlito, we did the first 15 episodes with this show. And then Mikey didn't want to do it anymore. And then Carlito took a break, and then he came back and he did a few more shows. Off mic, Carlito used to always tell me, I love doing this show because I find it very therapeutic. And I'm like, of course you do, because when you're engaged with somebody, and it's not just the recording of the show, when you're out with somebody and you're not distracted by other things, whether that's devices or just environment or whatever, and you're engaged with the person you're speaking to and they're of a positive nature and they genuinely are listening to the words you're sharing and vice versa, it is 100% therapeutic. Mm-hmm. You understand what they're going through, what you're going through, and then you're sharing and you're on the same level playing field. And that's why I kept on explaining to him, I don't understand. You're telling me in one voice that you find the show extremely therapeutic, but you're not interested in doing the show anymore. And I'm like, the therapeutic part of the show, meeting so many interesting people, whether it's been halfway around the world through Zoom calls or in person here in the studio, I'm driven by that. Because I get excited. So when I look at the schedule and I see certain people and I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about this. I don't do too much homework to the point where I already preempt what I'm going to talk about. I don't want to do that. I want it to be very reactive. I want it to be as if I'm genuinely speaking to somebody. And I get those compliments. And I do the exact same thing when we're at trade events. When I meet somebody and I'm talking to them, I want to stay focused on that person. I'm not going to go to the craziness of, I guess, Tom Cruise, where he just makes you the focus of it and that's your whole world and he's talking to you for that one moment and all of a sudden you're everything around that. I'm just saying that I'm genuinely interested in what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about the show and that's what I continue to like about the show. And that's the part that I don't understand why Carlito doesn't do it anymore, because you're 100% right. When I speak to people, I'm learning from them the same way that they're learning from me. But a lot of what I've learned is, it's what I picked up from speaking to. I'm in a very unique position where I've spoken to over 500 people, like at lengths, mm-hmm. about construction, about therapy, about happiness, about mental health, about physical health, all kinds of things that have everything to do with tradespeople, mm-hmm. and also being a human being. Simple as that. That's such an advantage for me. Right. And I appreciate it. So I'm respectful of it. So that's why when I get in here, I'm on. I have to be on. Doesn't matter if I got shit going on. There's been plenty of times where I've seen in the corner of my eye text messages coming from people that I didn't want to get text messages from. And I'm trying to ignore it because I'm staying focused on the conversation at hand here. So it is a little challenging at times. But when people listen to the show or they pay attention to my posts, not everything is perfect. But I'm trying to make it perfect at that moment when I'm engaged in there, because I've always told Carlito and other people, I get one shot, especially if it's one person that I've met one time. I get one shot to speak to this person for 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I want them to get a very realistic idea of who I am as an individual, why I've done this show, why I truly care about what people are saying and what they're trying to help other people with. And so then I give up my time to do that. So then the least I can do is I can be there and engage with that person. That's important to me. So I'm very respectful for everybody that calls in and shares. And I know that it's not easy. Trust me, it's not easy. I know that Ty is still going through a lot of shit. I know lots of other people. There's been people this year that have gone off the rails, disappeared. I've texted, I've called, no reply. And my first thought is the worst. And then out of the blue, I might get a message from one or two of them. And they're saying, no, I just had to disconnect. I had to disappear. I had to walk away. So they didn't do anything drastic, but they definitely did disconnect. And so I know that a lot of people are going through this, a lot of people. So that's why I think it's very valuable that we do this show. We continue doing this show because people are going to listen to this show. Trace people specifically are going to listen to this show and they're going to understand that I'm going to get the exact same compliment that I get from a lot of the other shows. And when we're talking about nuts and bolts and we're talking about construction, where you get a lot of junior people that are just getting into it. And their first thought is, I thought I was the only one that went through that. And I'm like, whether it's happiness or seeking happiness or whether it's mental health or anxiety or depression or construction, we are all going through that crap. All of us. We're just might be handling it slightly different, but we're all going through it. And there are people that are willing to listen. Simple as that, right?
Mm-hmm. And I see myself as a gift for others, and I see them as a gift for me. And when we have a chance to interact, I'm like, has the universe brought us together because I'm a gift for them or because they're a gift for me? I'm always curious about the interaction. And that I say that I feel like there's an invisible spider web. So if you think of how beautiful the spider web is, right? And that we can't see it, but we're all connected on the spider web. And the universe orchestrates it that there are different times that we're going to be able to interact with different people who are on our life path. Yeah. That in 8 billion people on this planet, somehow you and I happen to come together, yeah, and we're doing this work together, and that the people that we've been talking to are sharing information. And I'm like, oh, wow, like I've connected to new people through you. And I have found that sometimes I will meet someone and then some years later I reconnect with them like through another person. And it's like, then it was like divine timing for me to meet them again, because then all of a sudden we're like doing something together, we're collaborating or whatever. And it was like I know somebody that I worked with in March, and I'm like, if I didn't meet you through this person, I would have met you through yeah, these two other people, because me and you were meant to meet.
Yeah.
And so this invisible spider web is like, when I recognize that, every interaction, I'm like, why have we come together? What is the purpose? Why has God allowed us to meet? Is it for me, for you, or you for me? And when you appreciate that moment, then it's, and there's a curiosity that I bring to say, like, I don't know what it's about, but I just think and I don't think there are ever coincidences. I think there's a purpose to everything behind everything. I call them godcidences, actually.
Godcidences?
Yeah, because there's a reason behind all of it. As I said, like, because we're gifts to each other. Mm. Like I said, in a world of 8 billion people, somehow where we've connected. And so there's a reason behind that. And oftentimes, because of the law of attraction, which is, you know, the energy that you're putting out, you're also a magnet for that same energy, yeah, is that I often meet people that are very much like me. And so that we're aligned in some way. That's why you and I are doing this work together, because we're aligned. Yeah. And that as soon as, like, you know, because I was on your show as a guest, and it was like, oh, no, we need to do something more together, because yeah, there was just an alignment there that you don't feel with everybody, right? No. So you just know that the universe has brought you together. And oftentimes I'll meet people and we'll start talking about spirituality or something, and I'm like, wow, this is so weird. Like, here in this situation, I happen to meet you, but it's because we're aligned. And so the more you stay connected to your true and authentic self, the more you bring people who are like you into your world. It's yeah, amazing. And then your world continues to get better and better and better, because you bring more of the people. So those negative people, they're not there anymore. Somehow they disappear, they fall off, whatever. And it's like, that's okay, because I have more of the people that are like me coming into my world.
But it all starts with you looking within first, yeah, and finding out who you truly are. Mm-hmm. And then once you embrace that, no different than Ty and other people that yeah, have been on the show, you start attracting more people like that. Yeah. So you're definitely not going to get the haters coming at you. Mm-hmm. And you'll know how to handle those haters anyway if they do come at you. But mm-hmm, they're going to be far and few. Yeah. You're just going to start attracting more and more people that are like-minded that you're doing right now, which is basically looking for this happiness, looking for this content, looking for being in a better place.
Mm-hmm. Simple inside as yourself. That.
Yeah.
And noticing mm-hmm, that it's like, oh, I feel good. Okay, this is in alignment. Oh, I feel good. This means this is for me. Oh, I feel good. So it's always like being very aware of what's making you feel good and adding that to your happiness toolkit, right? To say, okay, these people make me feel really good. These people make me laugh. This space makes me feel calm. You know, this activity, I feel really energized. It's being very perceptive. And that's how life is always showing you more about who you are, yeah, what is like you and what is, and we often know what we are like by what is not like us, right? So the negative that we experience helps us to figure out what is more the positive, right? That we need those pieces, like, oh, no, I want none of that. I want more of this. And so we actually need the contrast. That's why there's the yin and yang, right? That there we need, you know, the clouds in order for us to see the sun. We need the rain but in order for to appreciate
this. I think that more of that negative part of life is still there, but I think you see it a lot easier when you actually start focusing more on you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like that's always been there, but you just didn't know how to handle it then because you weren't focused on you. You were just letting all this stuff come at you, and then you were reactive to that stuff. Now, just as much negative is coming at you, but you can easily handle it now. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's like working out. You just have gotten better at it. So then you see it, okay, well, that person and what they want to do and what they want to discuss has nothing to do with my life, and it doesn't contribute to me being in a better state of happiness. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ignore that person and walk away from them, and that's it. I'm done. Versus 10 years earlier, I would have been entertaining listening to that for a little while and going, man, you've just been talking about drama for the last 10 minutes, and I don't care about any of that stuff. If it's really that important to you, then by all means, find somebody else that feels the exact same way. But surprise, surprise, it ain't me. And then you move on.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And when I encounter people that they're not happy, right? Because I'm like, if you're happy, you wouldn't act like that. So there's something off in their life, which is causing them to act the way they are. I'm like, I might react for like a second, right? That I see my energetic vibration, not like this roller coaster like this. Do you know how many people live like this where they're feeling good?
All the time.
And often they're feeling good because maybe they're just back from vacation. Maybe it's substance related, right? That they're, you know, they've taken some kind of like medication or whatever. They're feeling good. Then as soon as that wears off, now they're down here and they're feeling like shit. And now they're like, oh no, how am I going to bring that high back again, right? And they're living like this. That's not how... That's us very disconnected.
Yeah.
Disconnected is something happens, we dip a little like this, and I'm finding that that little dip now is like minutes, whereas before it could have been days, sometimes even weeks that you're now off, right? And so now it's like, oh, you know, some compassion, some forgiveness, some like, oh, I'm sorry for them being out of sorts with themselves, disconnected from their happiness, and I'm not going to let that affect me. And then I redirect my focus to like what makes me feel good. So we physiologically, we only feel like, let's say, a bad emotion for 90 seconds, 90. We perpetuate
those negative emotions
through our thoughts. So we see that in children, right? That in babies, they'd be crying, ah! As soon as you distract them with a toy or something like that, hey, look at this. They're like, you were just bawling, and now all of a sudden you're distracted, and it's gone. So 90 seconds is how long we feel bad about something. If we feel bad for longer than 90 seconds, it's because we're perpetuating that with our head. And that's what we do. Oh, dare he say that to me? And oh, look at this. And we're just going on and on and on, creating the story on in our head, making ourselves feel worse past the 90 seconds. So when you know that that's the truth, that you can redirect your focus to something that'll make you feel better, that's what I do. So someone's pissed me off. That's okay. Let me listen to a song I like. That's okay. Let me put on my book. That's okay. Let me call my friend. That's okay. And that's what I'm doing right away, redirecting my focus and bringing me back to the happiness that I am. Don't stay in the muck.
Is it easy over time? I guess it gets a lot easier over time to do that.
Because you know what to redirect, right? You know what are those things that are immediately realigning.
That are not vices, that are not alcohol, not drugs or whatever. Things. Whether that could be like jumping in the gym or going for a bike ride or going for a walk or listening to a podcast, listening to specific music, just find them.
Yeah.
You should probably create a whole list, but you probably already know what your list is. And so go to one of them.
Some people have forgotten. They're like, I don't know what makes me happy because they haven't connected in so long. They haven't plugged in. Mm. They're like, I don't know because my life has been consumed with work. They don't know. They've lost it. So then that's where you have to kind of like do some experimenting around, you know, what are those things that brought you joy before you had a family, before you started working like 80 hours, before you had a business, before, what were those things? And then often it's like, oh, I used to play hockey a lot. Or, you know, I used to hang out with my buddies. I used to go for a beer. I used to go to the gym. I used to, well, maybe like those are some things that you need to bring back. And sometimes it's like, well, okay, now my body's changed. Okay, so what else can you do now based on like who you are today? What are those things that you can do?
Everyone uses the body change argument. As you get older, well, then fix that. It takes time. It will take time, but fix that. I mean, a lot of it has to do with stretching. A lot of it has to do with just eating a little bit better, not being abusive about it, what you consume. But you can fix that.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, outside of like major dramatic kind of health issues. But if you're just older and you got aches and pains, you can fix those aches and pains. Mm-hmm. That's totally fixable at that point. Mm-hmm. So then you don't have the excuse of, oh, I'm older now and I can't do that now.
Yeah,
you may not be able to check somebody up against a guard in a hockey game. And like, I wouldn't recommend you start doing that. But you can definitely go play a friendly game of hockey with some buds and just try to recapture stuff, right?
Yeah. And often it's just moving the body. So the body, when it's active, creates endorphins and dopamine and serotonin, a lot of these happiness hormones, just through the movement of our body. So it doesn't have to be through hockey. It could be any type of movement. But that's why it's so important for us to do something. That people that are like, that are suffering from depression and are just like having a hard time getting out of bed, it's in that case, it's difficult for them to actually take action to have their body create these hormones, right? Mm. So that's why people are addicted to a lot of behaviors, because they get that dopamine hit when they do that, right? But it's like, okay, how can you still get that hit but do it in a positive way? You don't have to gamble. You don't have to do online shopping. You don't have to eat a whole pizza. You don't have to have two bottles of wine. You don't have to like, you know, you don't have to watch porn. You don't have to like, there's a lot of really destructive behaviors that people participate in to get that.
But they're
that
purposely disconnecting, hit. Right? They want to just don't want to confront, and they just rather disconnect and use this as a filler instead.
And to have their body create those hormones. So if we are on the depression side, it's okay to take, like if you can't even get out of bed, then it's okay to take medication to give you now a little bit of an edge to be able now to take action to have your body create. Your body is a whole host of chemicals. It is a pharmacy on its own. But when, so for example, I just went to see a specialist this week who's now figured out that I have some things that are out of balance. And he's like, Teresa, you're not going to be able to eat certain foods. And I was like, okay, you know, which ones? And he says, tomatoes. And anyone who knows me knows I love
tomatoes. What's wrong with tomatoes?
Well, tomatoes, like the nightshade vegetables, are vegetables with too many seeds. And sometimes people say tomatoes are fruits, but it has too many seeds. And the seeds, I guess, are irritating to certain people that are sensitive.
Okay.
So I have a sensitivity, right?
Okay.
Which I don't realize, because it's like I don't break out in hives all the time, although lately I have been breaking out in some hives and I haven't been able to figure out what I've been eating that's irritating
myself.
So
it's the tomatoes.
But it causes inflammation in the body, and the inflammation shows up in like different ways, right? And so I said, when he said to me, you won't be able to eat tomatoes, it's like I'm looking at him like, but do you know I'm Italian? Like, you can't tell an Italian to not eat tomatoes. Like, it is.
Tomatoes
is
in everything.
Yeah, come and look at my garden. It's all tomatoes and basil. That is what, I don't grow anything else but tomatoes and basil because I love tomatoes.
And with all this rain, we've had.
Yeah,
tomato and basil are looking really good.
No, actually they're not. It's like, actually, I think it's too much rain for
my basil is looking amazing.
Really?
Oh yeah.
No.
Like, it looks like it's GMO.
Like, really?
It's huge.
No, mine's graying, like yellowing out. I'm like, really? I don't know what's going
on.
No,
mine looks amazing. I almost want to photograph it and put it on like Basil Quarterly or something like that. That's how good it looks.
Looks so good. Maybe I'm getting more rain up where I live than you, but yeah, not good. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah. And then, you know, the dairy, the gluten. And I was like, okay. And he's like, because so I'm sensitive. So if you're not sensitive, it's okay. But I just think that also what is in our foods, right? That you go to Europe, milk is bad in 3-4 days. Bread is bad in, again, 3-4 days. Why bread will stay in that plastic bag for months? Why milk has an expiry 2 months old? Like, what are we putting in our, what we consider healthy foods too?
It's not.
Right?
It's not. That's a whole other show.
Yes, I don't want to get into that.
Because we agree on that. But no. I it's unfortunate we couldn't get Tula, but actually I'll try to figure out how we do that significant other show and then get yourself, get Christina, get Tula. And I think there was a fourth that somebody else mentioned. And I was like, that would have been a great show to set up. So I'm working on that. I'm planning on doing that. So, but we definitely want to thank Ty for jumping on the call, and Christina as well, jumping on the call and then sharing what they shared, which is amazing. And then, again, your details to share everybody. So if anybody wants to reach out to Teresa, you can. She's easily accessible on all kinds of platforms and also through the show, right?
Yes. Thank you so much. So you can find me through my website, teresagreco.ca. And then I'm on all the platforms, Teresa Greco _ Steps to Happiness or Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. Yeah, I'm everywhere.
All right. That was fun. Thanks Teresa.
Thanks, man.
Always good to see you. All right.
You too.
Take care.